curious, warm, crisp, practical.
Fire is usually sold as a numbers problem, right? Save enough, invest enough, and then the spreadsheet says you're done. Exactly. And that part matters. But once work becomes optional, a different question shows up fast. What am I actually supposed to do with my life now?
Which is a much messier problem than a withdrawal rate.
Way messier. Because work wasn't just a paycheck. It was quietly doing a dozen jobs at once. It gave people structure, social contact, challenge, identity, status, even a decent answer to the question, so what do you do?
That's such a good point. People think they're retiring from work, but they're also retiring from a whole operating system.
Right. And if you don't notice that ahead of time, the empty calendar can feel weird instead of freeing. You're technically free, but the defaults are gone.
So the real first question isn't, what's my purpose?
No, it's more practical than that. It's, what was work giving me besides money?
And the answer might be different for every person.
Totally. For one person, it's craft. For another, it's peers. For another, it's urgency. For someone else, it's status or a sense of being needed. And one replacement usually doesn't cover all of that.
Like, a hobby can give challenge, but not necessarily people?
Exactly. Volunteering can give usefulness, but not maybe the same level of recognition. Travel can give novelty, but not routine. Family can be meaningful and still not satisfy the part of you that wants a hard problem. So you need a portfolio, not a single replacement. That's the idea. Health, friends, family, learning, craft, service, optional work, rest, ordinary rituals. It's less glamorous than I found my purpose, but it's much more real.
I like that. Inventory before you leave. Keep what's good, reduce what's draining, replace what matters, delete what you don't want.
Yes, maybe you keep the craft and the smart people, but you reduce urgency and delete the commute. That already changes your life a lot.
Okay, so let's say the money works and the person steps away. What do they do with an actual week?
That's the better question. Not what's my grand purpose, but what would make a normal week feel alive, useful, and worth repeating?
Because retirement is mostly Tuesdays.
Exactly. And the people who seem to do well after fire usually have a rhythm. Exercise, errands, reading, making things, cooking, walking, time with family, recurring social plans, maybe volunteering. The content changes, but the pattern is there.
So the trick is not filling every hour, it's building a repeatable week.
Right. A week with enough texture, enough body, enough people, enough craft, enough rest, enough usefulness. If you have that, you don't need work to hold the whole thing together. That makes me think about the phrase, retirement is a skill.
It really is. A lot of people assume life will just improve automatically once work stops. Then they get a few weird months. Too much time, no scoreboard, no boss, no obvious reason to be anywhere.
And that doesn't mean they made a mistake.
No, it may just mean they're learning a new skill. They're learning how to live without external structure.
I've also noticed that a lot of fire anxiety isn't really about boredom. It's about usefulness.
Yes, that's huge. Work gives you a reason to matter to other people. Someone wants your judgment, your decision, your expertise, your taste. When that disappears, just do hobbies can feel kind of thin.
So what do you do if you still want to contribute?
You ask, who benefits if I show up consistently? That's the key. Contribution works best when there's a real recipient, a real cadence, and real standards.
Not just vague volunteering once in a while.
Right. It can be mentoring, teaching, advising, tutoring, board work, local projects, community service, open source work, helping a younger person build something. It should be hard enough to matter, but bounded enough not to swallow your freedom.
That's the balance I keep hearing. Choose obligations instead of inheriting them.
Exactly. If you miss being useful, give yourself a role with a recipient. If you miss judgment, advise someone. If you miss craft, make something with standards. If you miss being needed, help in a way that's concrete and visible.
And fire doesn't have to mean never working again.
No, and that's important. For a lot of people, the real attraction is autonomy. Work less. Work differently. Take a sabbatical. Consult selectively. Teach. Build a small project. Do work because it's worth doing, not because rent is due.
So work optional doesn't mean work forbidden.
Not at all. Going back to work can be part of freedom, if it's on your terms. The real difference is between work that owns you and work you can negotiate with.
That's a useful frame. What parts of work do I still want? Craft? People? Challenge? Service?
And just as important, what parts do I want to stop renting my life to? The politics, the urgency, the commute, the sleep debt, the feeling that my calendar is owned by someone else.
I imagine that optionality also reduces the fear around re-entry.
Definitely. If you keep a warm network, a small project, maybe consulting or a part-time role, then leaving doesn't feel like a cliff. It feels like you have options.
Which brings us to relationships, because this never happens in a vacuum.
No, it really doesn't. Fire is not just individual. Your household retires too, in a sense.
If one partner stops working and the other doesn't, that changes the whole rhythm.
And if both stop, togetherness can become intense in a way people don't expect. Plus, your friends may still be working. Your availability changes. Your social identity changes.
So you need a household plan, not just a portfolio plan.
Curious, warm, crisp, practical.
Exactly. Who owns childcare, errands, meals, planning, emotional labor? What does fairness mean when one person has more free time? Do you retire together or in stages? How do you explain it to kids without making them anxious?
And probably a different story for different people in your life.
Yes. You don't owe everyone the full picture, but the people closest to you shouldn't have to guess why your life changed. A partner needs the real plan. Kids need reassurance. Friends may need a simple, boring version.
That's a good line. Simple, boring version.
It helps. Less drama, less pressure, fewer weird assumptions.
Let's talk about boredom for a second. If someone says, "I'm bored after fire," what do you think that usually means?
Usually it means one of several things. They're decompressing after years of stress. Or they replaced work with passive consumption. Or they miss challenge, people, usefulness, or routine. Boredom isn't one thing.
So it's a clue, not a verdict.
Exactly. Ask what's missing. Is it structure? Is it social contact? Is it physical energy? Is it novelty? Is it status withdrawal? Is it recovery? The fix depends on the missing ingredient.
And the wrong fix can be tempting. If you miss people, you don't solve that with solo travel. If you miss challenge, you don't solve that with more scrolling.
Right. The experiment has to match the problem.
There's also this whole issue of spending. People optimize so hard for accumulation that they don't know how to spend once the money is there.
That's true. After years of asking, how little can I spend, it can be hard to ask, what is worth spending on? And that's not just about luxury. It's about health, time, relationships, sleep, mobility, learning, less friction.
So spending can buy the life fire was supposed to make possible.
Exactly. But there's a trap there too, because spending can become another version of the game of more. Bigger house, fancier trip, better watch, more impressive lifestyle.
Same scoreboard, different category.
Yes. The higher yield spending often looks less flashy. Hosting people, organizing a family trip, buying the extra ticket, creating shared memories, using money to fill the chairs around the table.
I love that. Fill the chairs around the table.
That's the stuff people remember.
health is in there too, which people sometimes treat like a side issue until it isn't.
Health is huge. It's insurance premiums and prescriptions, sure, but it's also a life question. How many active years do I actually have? What am I trading for one more year of work? What happens if illness changes the plan?
Money buys options. It doesn't buy unlimited healthy years.
Exactly. That's why some of the best spending is just protecting the body that has to live the life.
Let's get concrete. If someone is standing at the edge of this transition, what does a good first experiment look like?
Small enough to quit. Real enough to teach you something. First, inventory what work gives you. Structure, peers, challenge, status, usefulness, learning, money, identity, urgency, escape. Then decide what to keep, reduce, replace, or delete.
So you're doing design work before you leave?
Yes. Then maybe run a 90-day retired week. Not a perfect fantasy, just a rhythm. Exercise blocks, social commitments, creative blocks, one contribution block, one admin block, and one unoptimized day.
Unoptimized day sounds wonderful.
It is. And after each week, just rate a few things. Energy, connection, usefulness, aliveness. If those are low, more money probably isn't the fix.
What about work itself? If someone wants to stay lightly engaged, how do they keep that from turning back into the old job?
Name the boundary. What work would you still do without needing the money? How many hours? Who would you work with? What counts as recreating the old stress machine? If you don't define that, optional work can quietly become compulsory again.
And maybe decide ahead of time whether you're still playing the game of more.
Yes, because once the money works, more can become pure scorekeeping. More money, more title, more impressive lifestyle, more proof that you won. The question is whether you actually want that or whether you just never stopped.
That's a hard question, because the game of more is so socially normal.
It is. And stopping forces a deeper identity question. Who am I if I'm not winning this game?
Which brings us to the part I think a lot of people are secretly longing for. Unoptimized freedom.
Yes, that's a beautiful phrase for it. Not everything has to be maximized, monetized, defended, or turned into a system.
So you leave room for a walk before checking your phone, or coffee before inputs, or a quiet pause in the day.
Exactly. Sit, notice, be grateful for something. Do one generous thing that isn't part of a productivity plan. The point isn't passivity. It's learning not to treat every free hour like a resource to extract from.
That's probably harder than it sounds. For people who've spent decades optimizing, it is hard. But maybe that's the actual skill after fire. Letting freedom stay a little unoptimized.
So if we had to boil it down, fire solves the money problem, but not the Tuesday problem.
That's right.
And the Tuesday problem is structure, people, contribution, health, rhythm, and meaning.
Plus the willingness to build a life that doesn't need a job to justify it.
That feels like the real finish line.
Or maybe the real beginning.